Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Ben Sorensen's Real Country, bringing you the stars of country.
Top of the morning to you again. This is Ben Sorensen here, and after all the fun we had last week, this is my Real Country special, part two, direct from Ireland, thanks to our friends at Tourism Ireland. This week, I'll be bringing you some more of my adventures, delving into the history and tastes of Ireland with some of my brand new friends. This week, I connect with Kevin, or St. Kevin, and his wild parties. I talk porridge with Celtic woman Lisa Lamb. Eveline is back to help me experience the best bagel in the universe with the pepper pot. I head out to the estate where the tallest tree in Ireland lives and an opulent 100% hand-planted garden. Oh, and I also learn how to pour the perfect pint of Guinness. And for everyone at home, pouring is the stage before drinking. See, we're all going to learn something. But first, another great track and another solid link from Australia to Ireland, as both countries are, in fact, islands. This is John Williamson with Girt by Sea, kicking off Real Country's Irish Special, Part 2.
Though there's nothing like a Sunday morning, mighty might on toast, having all your ills around for a Sunday roast. To top it off down under, what we all like most is taking off your shoes and walking around the coast. Cos we're girt by sea, girt by sea. Was your great, 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 great aborigine? Or did he come by ship? Well, it's all the same to me. We're a dirty, great, big island, girt by sea. We got man-eating spiders and 12-metre sharks, drop bears, death adders in our national parks. Watch out for crooked oils, tiger snakes and stingers. It's no place for cowboys, we call them ringers. Where we're girt by sea, we're girt by sea. Was your great, 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 great aborigine? Or did he come by ship? Well, it's all the same to me. We're a dirty, great big island, girt by sea. We got great-looking sheilas and rough-headed mates, two territories and six other states, tiger prawns and humongous T-bone steaks. But we don't have no border wars, well, them's the breaks. When you're girt by sea, girt by sea. Was your great, 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 great aborigine? Or did he come by ship? Well, it's all the same to me. We're a dirty, great big island. At night, the Great Ocean Road and the Great Australian Bight, the Great Sandy Desert and the Great Barrier Reef, and the Great Dividing Range. Oh my good grief, we're girt by sea, we're girt by sea. Was your great, 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 great aborigine? Or did he come by ship? Well, it's all the same to me. We're a dirty, great big island, girt by sea. Yes, we're girt by sea.
So here in Australia, we have a famous Kevin, Kevin Rudd here, and Ireland also has a famous Kevin, St. Kevin, who resided in the monastery out in Glendalough and attracted some interesting and wild pilgrims in his time. So I boldly headed out to County Wicklow to find knowledgeable local historian George McClafferty, who also happened to study archaeology and Irish folklore and anthropology, and he was also a great bloke.
And I'm here with George, and he's not just any bloke. He's a very special bloke. Can you tell me more about Kevin and his monastic village?
Well, Kevin was a member of a noble family who was born sometime around the first half of the 6th century, and he gave up his good lifestyle as a young man to lead the life of a monk, a life close to nature, close to God, praying and eating very little, and he decided to do this in Glendalough. He came to Glendalough in the second half of the 6th century with a small group of monks, setting up his monastery here, and we're told that he was famous for lots and lots of different miracles, and there are lots of legends and stories about the miracles which he's supposed to have performed.
So there was one story that you did tell me as we went for a walk around, involving the king's goose.
Yes, it's said that when Kevin first came to Glendalough, he was on the lookout for a piece of land to build his church and build his monastery, and he met the local ruler, who was called King O'Toole. And the king was walking along the side of the lake, and he was crying. And Kevin asked him what the matter was, and the king replied, pointing to his feet, "Look at my poor old goose, who's dying. It was a present given to me by my mother. And he's got old and he's dying." And Kevin thought, and he said to the king, "If I make your goose young and give it back its life, will you give me as much land as it flies around on its first flight?" And the king was a crafty old devil, and he looked at the goose and he looked at Kevin and he said, "Of course I will." Because he knew that goose, when it was young, was lazy, it never flew in its life, and that it wasn't likely to fly anywhere, and he wouldn't have to give any land to Kevin. So Kevin picked the goose up, he blessed it, and he threw it up into the air, and it started to flap its wings, and it flew right around the valley of Glendalough, over the three mountains surrounding the valley, arrived back at the king's feet, and the king had to give Kevin the valley of Glendalough.
So I absolutely adore stories like that, and there's so many of them in Irish folklore, and that's one of the areas that you did quite a lot of study in, George.
Yep, the folklore connected with Glendalough is very important. We have not just the religious folklore, which would be connected to St. Kevin, to the monastery, to beliefs about various things in the monastery, but you also have local place names which have their own natural stories which are not in any way religious. So you've got a mixture of the religious and the non-religious in the folklore, and it's a very important area of Irish folklore here in the middle of the mountains in County Wicklow.
Well, thank you so much for showing us around the monastery and telling us all of these great stories. Well, today was a fabulous day and it was absolutely amazing. Thank you so much, George.
You're welcome.
The monastic village in Glendalough, County Wicklow, was a super day out with heaps of self-guided forest walks with magic beauty around every corner. Plus, the cemetery and village itself, I would highly recommend a guided tour. It really does bring history to life and it's a wonderful, wonderful day out. Now let's jump back to Australia for a minute with this next track. This is Melinda Schneider and Becky Cole with Love Hurts.
Love hurts. Ooh. This is Darius Rucker. Listen to my man Ben Sorensen's Real Country.
So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama, rock me.
You've heard us on the radio. Now check out the Behind the Wheel website. At behindthewheel.com.au, you can browse all our latest car reviews and car product reviews. You can also watch our video car reviews and check out all the latest auto news as well. There's also more info on our latest competitions, the entire Behind the Wheel podcast archive to listen to or download, and links to our social media accounts as well. And make sure you leave your comments, give us feedback, ask for advice, or just let us know all about your car. Behindthewheel.com.au, where motoring starts.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Ben Sorensen's Real Country Interviews, bringing you the stars of country.
Welcome back, it's Ben Sorensen here, and this is the Real Country Irish Special Part 2. For all things country, still head to realcountrymix.com. Lisa Lamb toured with Celtic Woman, but now she's a successful actress and musician in her own right here in Ireland. I caught up with her to discuss the important things in life, like her new album and porridge.
Lisa Lamb, how are you, Lisa?
Hi, Ben. Lovely to be here with you.
Now, you've got a really interesting story.
Yes, I studied acting here in Dublin, my hometown, in Trinity College, just around the corner, in a beautiful, beautiful university. And I was doing it from a very young age. I went to a theatre school here as well in Dublin when I was 3 years old. She took me out. I think you're supposed to be four when you start, but my sisters had gone, so she let me in early because she knew my family, I suppose. And so it was always kind of in my blood from a very young age, and likewise so was singing, really. So they kind of both ran parallel to each other for a long time. And then when I left high school, I went to Trinity and studied acting. So there was a lot of singing involved in that, in the degree there, but it was mainly a classical acting course. But it's funny the way I think when you love something so much, like it naturally kind of falls, well, it's fallen into my path a lot. So if I was involved with theatre, a lot of the time I would do roles that involved singing. So it wasn't necessarily music theatre or musical theatre, like a London show, but say a piece of Irish theatre that had either very, very traditional music involved or some kind of newly kind of created piece for the actual theatre piece itself. So
one thing that I do want to mention is your love of porridge. But I think you can really judge a person by the type of breakfast they have. There's the oats are what most people will use, but there is actually a 9-grain blend that works just as well. And it's sort of more of a salty, buttery base as opposed to, you know, the oaty base.
Yes. I actually, my favourite currently is Pinhead oatmeal. Have you had Pinhead?
No.
Which is quite nutty as well. It has a little, it takes the same amount, a little bit longer to cook, but it doesn't go into kind of a blobby kind of.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of grey. It's got like it's a bit more of a chew to it. It's lovely.
Yeah.
It's got a little nutty texture, which I really like. Yes.
Let's move on now from food to food for your soul.
Oh, I like the transition.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I love that.
See that? Yeah. Now, your album, Hiding Away, is a wonderful example of who you are. Now, we've never met before, but I feel like I know you through your album.
Oh, that's lovely.
And your track, Heaven, and the delightful film clip that you made with that was about bringing awareness to that issue. Mm. Can you tell me more about how that came about?
Yeah, well, I worked with Alone over the last year. Really, I'm very, I suppose, new to their charity. And when I was away or doing anything, I was trying to always raise awareness of them. I initially went in, I was kind of curious about sort of a charity that's independent and that works with older people. Mm. I was very curious about this charity and the work that they did. So I've about a year ago started to with touring and stuff. It was to try and if I did something, just try and raise awareness for them in a very, I suppose, in a more general kind of way. But with Heaven, with the lyrics especially of the song, I just knew straight away that I could do something very, very special on behalf of them. And with the video, I asked some of the older people who avail of the services of Alone to partake in the video.
Oh,
and
wow.
They were just the most beautiful people. They've come from all walks of life, different backgrounds. I think at that age of your life, that is one of the saddest things ever. At that stage, you always hope or think that you'll have security or somewhere to be or someone to look after you. And so that really kind of struck a chord with me, the work that they do. And they're an amazing, amazing bunch of people, volunteers who tirelessly work, especially over Christmas and those periods when everybody kind of goes home to the ones that they love, or, you know, surrounded by their friends and family. They really take care of older people and them.
It is a fantastic album, Hiding Away, and hopefully you will never hide away again, because this music is fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lisa Lamb.
Ben, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your time in Ireland. Hope to see you soon.
Beyond the rules of above all the competition, where fact and fiction meet, there's no color lines, castles or glasses. There's no fool in the masses. Whatever faith you practice, whatever you believe, oh, yeah. For the hopeless, throw away your misconceptions. There's no walls around heaven. With no codes, you gotta know to get in. No Minutemen or Border Patrol, you must lose earthly possessions. Leave behind your weapons. You can't buy your salvation, and there is no pot of gold. Hopeless.
Ben Sorensen's Real Country.
It was a half past nothing on a nowhere night. I had no one to love, I had no one to fight, so I took a walk down Bad News Avenue. I had a heart full of burden and a head full of booze. I had nothing to gain, I had nothing to lose, so I stepped inside a tavern and began to play. Bad news, bad news, I'm talking to you.
Sorensen Real Country Interview. Hear this interview and many more at www.realcountrymix.com.
Last week we met Eveline from Fabulous Food Tours, and she's back again with another gem from Ireland. This time we're talking bagels and baking with the gurus at the Pepper Pot.
So I'm going to bring you up the stairs to the Pepper Pot. And the Pepper Pot is amazing. Everything they do is made in this tiny kitchen here. And baking is really central to them. They're about 4.5 years old. Two girls, two women. It's just fantastic. They make everything. They have the best scones here. They make them by hand. If they whip cream and it gets over-whipped, they whip their cream by hand so that it doesn't separate during the day. And if they over-whip it, they just keep whipping and make butter, and that's the butter you get on the table. The Pepper Pot, I'll just tell you about that. On the Paris Court Estate in Wicklow, there is what we would call here, what we call a folly, and it was actually built by one of the Viscounts to keep an eye on the Boy Scouts in the area, because they boys, you know, he was at the start of the Boy Scout movement. But it's known locally as the Pepper Pot. That's what people around there would say. Oh, that's called the Pepper Pot because it's shaped like a pepper pot. It's also relevant to the building.
Yeah,
you know, because it's part of the building. So yeah, no, it's really nice.
My name is Ulrika. I work here for the Pepper Pot.
The idea Durbla and Marin had when they opened the cafe was to have everything done from scratch and have a feeling of coming home to grannies with like teapot and old fashioned looking and wax cloths. And they're actually in very early as well, as a granny would be up cluttering around in the kitchen around 5:30, 6 o'clock. So I think the girls are not in at 5:30, but around 7 they start to bake. So they'll do scones, white yeast bread, brown soda bread, we do dairy and gluten-free bread, and the bagel you're going to try here today.
Is it a boiled bagel?
It is indeed, yeah. Boiled and baked.
Whoa! Yeah.
And it takes,
this is the real thing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it takes 48 hours to bake our bagels. So they put on a starter the first day, let it sit overnight. Then they add the rest of the ingredients, let it prove. Then they hand roll every bagel individually. I think they do a batch of 48 or 50 every morning. And then they boil them in a bit of water and golden syrup, which gives them this crunchy texture on the outside with a bit of sweetness to it. And then they bake in an oven. So this one is with poppy seed and linseeds, and it's with a Burren smoked salmon. We get all our fish from the west coast of Ireland in Burren. It's an organic farmed salmon, and it's with a bit of chive cream cheese and a bit of Wicklow leaves.
Wow.
The bagels are...
It's nice, isn't it?
Isn't it good?
I don't know if you've ever had a bagel before, but anywhere I've had a bagel, they always toasted, and that's because they would be so dense you wouldn't actually be able to eat them.
Yeah.
We do them freshly every morning and they're delicious. When it comes to baking, unfortunately, like the second year you start to use machines, that's when the quality kills it. So, Noel, I hope you enjoy the rest of your food.
Thanks a million.
Thank you so much.
Lovely weather for it.
Don't forget, I'll be posting some of the full-length interviews from my trip to Ireland on the podcast feed. So head to iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your favourite podcasting app and simply download and subscribe to Ben Sorensen's Real Country. Now, after the break, I head out to Powers Court Estate and pull a few points at the Guinness Storehouse as I continue my adventure through Ireland on Real Country.
G'day, this is Pete Dennehy, and you're listening to Ben Sorensen's Real Country.
You feeling all right?
Yep.
How's your ankle?
Good.
When's your exam?
Dunno.
Have you done much study?
No.
What's on tomorrow?
Dunno.
Are you playing cricket?
Dunno.
Hi, we're Georgia Fall.
And we're on the road to launch our new album, thanks to the support of NRMA BusinessWise.
Their legendary roadside assistance keeps business trucks and vans on the road and makes sure we don't let our fans down.
See how they can keep your business moving at nrmabusinesswise.com.au.
NRMA BusinessWise, keeping Australian country music on the road.
Because the show must go on.
Hey, this is Catherine Britt, and you're listening to the best salt and pepper man in the world, Ben Sorensen. Real country.
It ain't like it was before, so I want you back. My sun don't shine no more, so I want you back. No one's knocking at my door, so I want you back.
Oh. Welcome back, it's Ben Sorensen here, and this is the Real Country Irish Special Part 2. Thanks to our friends at Tourism Ireland. For all things country, don't forget to go to the website realcountrymix.com. Now, Powers Court Estate could have been a whole day on its own, with acres and acres of beautiful hand-planted gardens, including a Japanese garden. There was a hotel, golf course, garden centre, function centre. It's an amazing place, and like many amazing places in Ireland, it has its own unique story, as told by Justin. I'm here with Justin at Powers Court Estate with some of the most amazing gardens and the most historic site that I've found in quite a long time. Justin, how are you?
I'm great, Ben. Thanks a million for coming down and giving us a bit of promotion. Yeah.
The estate is just so amazing. I mean, there's two golf courses, there's a hotel, there's the reception centre here, there's the amazing gardens. I mean, can you tell me briefly the story of the estate and how that's been part of Irish heritage?
Well, the estate kind of came to be in terms of what people like to visit now, visit the gardens. The estate came into being in around the 1730s, that type of an era, by a family called the Wingfield family, which were granted the land here by King James I. So it was around the 1730s, 1740s, give or take. They are the family that really created everything that you're seeing around you in terms of the amount of land that was here. There was a vast amount of land. It was 45 to 50,000 acres of land at the time. That Wingfield family, they created the gardens. They did all of the main work that was done here. And they had the estate right up until 1961. So from them, that 1700s, 1730s, from when they even just started building the house, they did get possession of the land in the 1600s, 1603 to be more precise. But up until 1961, that Wingfield family had possession of this land here. And then in the 1960s, 61, it was sold on to the Slazenger family, which really took it from a private residence, for want of a better term, and then turned it really into the attraction that people see here today. So the Slazenger family would be the family that we would say that has worked very, very hard in terms of being able to get the tourists to come over, and really has been part and parcel of the reason that we were awarded number three in the world by National Geographic.
The other interesting thing is the rebuilding of the main house that we're sitting in upstairs, with a delightful view of the gardens.
Well, that came about through tragedy. In 1974, we had a huge tragedy here where the house was entirely destroyed and by fire. Nearly all of the painting works that was here, the majority of the works that were in the building were destroyed, and the entire building was destroyed.
So moving from the house to the gardens, which are absolutely amazing. I mean, every single plant in the gardens was consciously put there.
Correct.
None of this is by chance.
None of it is by chance. There was 400,000 trees a year for 10 years planted throughout the estate. We're talking 4 million trees throughout the estate. It was planted specifically in that specific area in order to give the impression it was a natural forest. And then, of course, when you come a little bit closer into the gardens where the design features are, they're there to create shadow in the sunlight. They're there to give off certain scent, certain feelings, of course, and all the scents and smells that you walk through. So everything is done for a purpose.
Well, I think the entire estate is something incredibly special, and I'm so pleased that I got the opportunity to wander around, have a look, and speak to yourself. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you, Ben.
My cross to bear. I see you in a different light. The truth got through somehow. If you lived here, you'd be home now. If you lived here, you'd be on the phone talking to your mama, saying you ain't gone and left here yet, but someday you was gone. Day I pledge my love for you, sure raise a few eyebrows. If you lived here, you'd be home now.
It's all about the segue here from Justin Doonan at Powers Court Estate that had an unfortunate fire to an appropriate track. It's sad, but it's not all about the Monet. This is Jason Owen, Tears on Fire. Yes, that did really happen.
Someone's gonna comfort you. Someone won't let you be alone. You know it, and I know it. Someone's gonna take you home. Who's gonna set your tears on fire? Who's gonna set your tears on fire? Someone will come along someday and burn those memories away. Who's gonna set your tears on fire? Someone will listen all night long. Someone is gonna be your friend. Tears on fire. Who's gonna set your tears on fire? Someone will come along someday and burn those memories away. Who's gonna set your tears on fire? Talk you through your doubts, and someone will kiss away your fears. You know it, and I know it. Someone's already standing here. Who's gonna set your tears on fire?
After the break, I learned some history and skills on the opposite side of the bar to what I'm used to at the Guinness Storehouse, and some great tunes from the Bushwhackers and Maura O'Connell.
Hey, yeah, yeah, welcome to the party.
Hi, everyone. This is Lee from Jetty Road, and I'll just let you in on a little secret. I am the good twin. You're listening to Ben Sorensen's Real Country.
All entertainers, Talent in Your Town is a new online directory for entertainers who want to be seen and heard.
Singers, dancers, magicians, bands, comedians, jugglers, illusionists, face painters, fireworks, kids' parties, and a whole lot more. Whatever you do, talent in your town wants to hear from you. Talentinyourtown.com.au, the one-stop shop for all your private or corporate entertainment needs too.
Plus amusement.
Check it out, talentinyourtown.com.au.
Ben Sorensen's Real Country.
Welcome back. It's Ben Sorensen here, and this is the Real Country Irish Special Part 2, thanks to Tourism Ireland. Now, I'm always travelling, and I love being free. Well, wrong song, but right sentiment. Travelling to somewhere like Ireland is absolutely amazing and life-changing, but there's also something special about home, and that's where the Bushwhackers come in. This is I Am Australian.
Came upon a prison ship, bound down by iron chains. Cleared the land, endured the lash, and waited for the rains. I'm a settler, I'm a farmer's wife, on a dry and barren run. A convict, then a free man, I became Australian. I'm the daughter of a digger who sought the mother lode. The girl became a woman on the long and dusty road. I'm a child of the Depression and I saw the good times come. I'm a bushy, I'm a battler, I am Australian. I'm a teller of stories, I'm a singer of songs. I'm Albert Namajira and I paint the ghostly guns. I'm Clancy on his horse, I'm Ned Kelly on the run. I'm the one who was Matilda, yes I am Australian. We are one, but we are many, and from all the lands on earth we come. We share a dream and sing with one voice. I am, you are, we are Australian. The black soil of the plains, I'm the mountains and the valleys, the drought and flooding rains. I am the rock, I am the sky, the rivers when they run. I'm the spirit of this great land, I am Australian. Dreaming from the dusty red soil plains, I am the ancient heart, the keeper of the flame. I stood upon that rocky shore, I watched the tall ships come. When for 40,000 years I'd be the first Australian. We are one, but we are many, and from all the lands on earth we come. We share a dream and sing with one voice. I am, you are, we are Australian. We are one, but we're many, and from all the lands on earth we come. we share a dream and sing with one voice. I am, you are, we are Australian.
When we think of Ireland, we often think of the black stout, which isn't really black at all, but a delightfully dark ruby red. I learn about the history of the famous beverage and the key to a good pint with Ian from the Guinness Storehouse in Ireland.
I'm here with Ian. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Nice to meet you.
Now, the first thing that really blew my mind was the story of Arthur Guinness.
Yeah, it's kind of, for a lot of breweries, they haven't got the heritage that we would have here. We're officially 256 years this year in St. James's Gate, so that's a long time. That predates some countries, that's how long we're here. What Arthur Guinness did at the time, which was unique, he found a four-acre disused brewery here in St. James's Gate, and he decided that's where he was going to set up his brewing empire. And he signed a lease with the original landowner, a gentleman called Mark Rainsford. And the reason the lease is so famous is because of what he did. He signed a lease for £45 a year, but for a period of 9,000 years. So obviously he had foresight, we think.
Well, not only that, he was also a great philanthropist as well. And he certainly gave so much back to the Irish people.
Yeah, not just Arthur Guinness, but that carried right through even to today, to the family today. It's something that they've always done. So a lot of people don't realise, obviously, as an employer at Dublin, that would have been one of the main employers. And especially in the 1920s, we were the largest brewery in the world. So at that time, probably the main employer at Dublin at the time. There's a lot of regard and respect for the Guinness family here in Dublin, and I think in Ireland in general.
So tell me some interesting stats. How many pints do you make here a day?
It depends. The brewery itself, with our new brew house, can do up to 20 million pints a day. We're averaging about 3.2 as a standard. We can go to 5, and we usually do that twice a year. So kind of January and the run up to March, because for some reason March 17th there's a lot of Guinness drunk. I think it's something to do with St. Patrick or something. And then Christmas time, Guinness is very popular, so kind of run up to Christmas we'll go to full max capacity for that as well, for the worldwide market.
Well, it is absolutely amazing, and I'm looking at a pint of Guinness now that is just it's whispering to me. It's saying drink me now. And it's been an absolutely amazing experience here at the Guinness Storehouse. It's the Guinness. It's distracting me here. So thank you so much, Ian.
No problem at all. It was lovely meeting you, and thanks very much for visiting us.
Just before we run out of time, this is an amazing track based on the concept of the Irish Blessing by Maura O'Connell. It's called Blessing, and it's a wonderful track.
May the rain always fall soft upon your fields, and the sun pour down like honey where you stand. May the wind be at your back and the road rise to meet you, and your soul rest at last in the hollow of God's hand. Life isn't easy. No one ever said it was. But if you are lucky, you will love and be loved. And may the rain always fall soft upon your fields, and the sun pour down like honey where you stand. May the wind be at your back and the road rise to meet you, and your soul rest at last in the hollow of God's hand. Trouble and sorrow, cause you will meet it with grace. And may
your soul rest at last in the hollow of God's hand.
That's your lot for the week. Feel free to continue the country conversation with me on social media. I also have an array of photos on my Instagram account too, so if you can to check it out. Also, a huge thank you to our friends at Tourism Ireland, all my guests on this week's show, and to Real Country's international field producer, Tanya Strawn. Get off your backside and start planning your trip to Ireland today. Next week, I head off to Germany as the Real Country tour continues. And as they say in Ireland, it's not goodbye, but until we meet again.
Ben Sorensen's Real Country.